And welcome back to the Armstrong and Elliot show.
It's great to have you here.
I'm Armstrong. And
I'm Elliot.
That's Elliot.
Yep.
We didn't rehearse that, so that was impressive.
Yeah. We're just creative like that.
Yeah. We're just thinking on the fly.
Yeah. Bro, this day has felt like it's gone on forever.
We are currently at the end of the longest day. It is, oh my gosh, I can't even
What have you been through?
I can't describe. Well, actually, I had a pretty chill morning.
Okay.
Just doing some editing at work. Hanging out with an intern.
That's always fun.
And then...
Do you like your interns?
I do.
Okay.
You know, I think I have a... I really, really like my... Oh my gosh, I'm bleeding.
Oh no.
Golly. I must have cut myself while we were moving things. Anyways, I really like my interns, and I've thought about it. Why do I really like my interns?
Because
I
think them?
It's because I'm the one who hired them.
Right.
That probably has a lot to do with it.
Do you feel powerful being like, I'm the one who has hired people? Like, you have the authority to hire and fire people? That's wild to me.
Yes, but also no. I mean, I don't feel like I'm like in some like, you know,
powerful
super
position.
Controlling and powerful.
Right. You just kind of giving them an opportunity.
I'm trying to create a team here.
Bro, you're like every company's dream employee.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not in this for credit or whatever. I'm just here to make money
and build teams.
I'm in here to get paid for my work.
Uh-huh.
And to make sure that we have other people who also do good work so our company can do better. And then when the company just does better, I get paid more. So, hey, it all works out.
That's facts.
I don't want anyone here who's not going to be for the team. I don't want anyone who's for themselves.
Right.
But I don't hire those people, so there we are.
Yeah. Dang. So you were editing some stuff at work.
And then we had a pretty heavy day at the show.
Yeah.
Two interns gone, plus one of the hosts gone. And that host, he usually is the one who calls all our guests and takes the phone calls, phone line stuff. So today I was doing a lot of things that I, like many, many tasks that I usually pass off to interns or the host takes care of, I was doing. So I was calling Scott Drew up. Hey, coach, thanks for coming on with us.
You really called Scott Drew?
Yeah, I have his number on my phone. Calling up Tim Brando.
No way.
Yeah, calling up Tim Brando.
That's wild.
Yeah, and so I actually think I took a screenshot because that one was like, this is hilarious because it's literally just a screenshot of my phone and it's just like, you're on the phone, you know, and it just says Scott Drew.
That's amazing.
And then I
the
call
the national championship coach just casually on your phone.
And then I call up Tim Brando, Fox college football commentator. You would recognize his voice.
I was like, I don't know that name, but
you would recognize his voice. He's called some Baylor games.
Okay.
You know, just get him on.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then a lot of just many things, and then come home to immediately.
Then we had, this is where me and Armstrong linked up.
Yeah.
So prior
What'd
to
you
this,
do before that, yeah.
Yeah, I had a long day. So I had class in the morning for like 4 hours. I'm in a class called Constructive Theology, so it's a pretty heavy class.
Yeah, sounds good.
We were talking about atonement theory today. And then after that, I went to work, and I stayed at work for like 2 hours longer than I intended, just because I have my like normal stuff that I got to get done, and then on top of that, I had a lot of projects running that I had to get done before this Sunday. I work for a church, so I have to get stuff done before Sundays. And then, so I left work at like 5:50, and then I came home, and then I had a phone call with somebody for a little bit, and then you came back, and this is where we linked back up.
Yeah.
We went over to pick up our good buddy, Zach Glanzer from camp.
The man with the biggest pecs.
Yes, the biggest pectorals you've ever seen in your life. And it's because he does like 400 push-ups a day. Not exaggerating.
And only that.
I've never seen another human being just like attack push-ups like Zach Glanzer does. Yeah. And I don't know if I want to see, I want to go back in time when Zach Glanzer just started his push-ups. Like when he was doing a measly 20 at a time, you know? But now he cranks them out in like sets of like 75. And I'm like, holy crap. It's just
this
insane.
Man's dedication.
He's wild. And he kept them up while he was at camp.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So y'all don't know that Zach worked at Pine Cove. I also worked at Pine Cove. Extremely exhausting, just like physically, mentally, spiritually, all the things. So if you have energy, there were people at camp that would get up in the mornings before camp and run like 2 miles.
And then you have like the Zach Lancers will do like 150 push-ups after a day of all that stuff. And it's just like, how do you have the energy and why do you have the energy?
How many,
it's like sleep in.
Yeah. How many hours of sleep do you get at camp, do you think?
I would go to bed at like 11 or 12, sometimes one. It's like that. That's the hour range of like 11 to one. And I would wake up at 5:30 every day.
I just couldn't do that. Now, I could do it actually. I just would take.
You're a lot stronger than you think you are. You for sure could do it.
Yeah, no. I could do it. I just didn't sound pleasant.
Yeah,
sounds like a growing time.
It's a growing and stretching period for sure. It's something I was grateful for. I've never had a problem though. If I did not know how to function off of little amounts of sleep, I would not have graduated college. And I wouldn't be in grad school right now because I average like 4 to 5 hours of sleep every night.
See, that's crazy. I get my 9.
You get 9?
I need my 9.
I don't think I had 9 hours of sleep in over a year. Not exaggerating.
Bro, I have a book for you called Why We Sleep.
Does it tell me that everybody sleeps differently and so some people need 4 hours and some people need 9?
It'll tell you. It'll convince you that you need more sleep.
I don't believe that. I feel worse when I get more sleep.
Well, how much more are we talking here?
Like
11 hours? Yeah, sure.
Like 8 or 9 hours. I feel just sluggish.
Wow. Yeah, that's impressive. I wish I was that way. Because I'm like, some people just operate on like 6 hours of sleep. And I like need 9.
That's me. I average, being realistic, is probably like 6 hours a day.
And I'm like, how much more would I be productive if I... like with 3 more hours in my day,
right?
Like that's wild. That's a lot of time.
That's what I do on my homework is those 3 hours.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah. I need those 9. Yeah. I don't know why. I just always have. But anyways, so then we after Zach Glanzer, we went and we picked. We went to Golden Chick with him. We dropped him off.
Yeah, we got a free ice cream cone.
Free ice cream cone at Golden Chick, which if you don't know, you should go.
Yeah.
I bought a root beer.
And the lady behind the counter made fun of Zach for being short. And Zach's literally like an inch shorter than me, Armstrong.
And
we
were like, and the lady, not throwing the bus, was like 5'2".
She was like 5'2". And I was like, what? I think she was just bitter. She was made fun of her entire life for being short. And now she's just flipping the tables on the first kind of short guy she saw.
Zach is
not even kind of short, though. So I was just like, what?
She said... Zach asked for a cone and she said, no, I don't. We don't give cones to short people. What?
I was like, we're suing for prejudice.
Zach was so confused. Like, who are you talking to?
Zach, yeah, he legit was like, did I hear you right? Did yeah. you just say that?
Like, I don't even know which of the three of us you're talking to. We're all essentially the same height.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if Zach was like legitimately short, like 5'5". Will she have said the same thing?
No. I don't know. I don't know why she said... She was probably just trying to think of something funny to say.
Yeah.
And just short is the first thing that came to her mind.
Yeah.
Because of her years of torment.
Working for Golden Chick?
No, being called short. Being
right. Sorry. Working for fast food, though, is another time to torment.
Probably.
Oh, man.
My dad went... He worked for... He did a crew summer mission in Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a tough mission field, bro.
One summer. And he what they do for that is they have you like work normal jobs in the day.
Yeah.
And, like, teach you how to like share the gospel with people at work. And he said like by far the toughest part of that whole thing was just working at McDonald's.
Oh, I bet. That's brutal.
That is
I am grateful that I never had to work fast food and I probably never will.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for that. It's just like the most miserable job that I can think of.
Oh boy. Yeah. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would have probably done it and probably maybe liked it. I don't know when I was like if it was like a high school or like younger job, that kind of,
yeah.
You know, just like your summer job you get, you know, just to make money and have experience working.
Yeah.
Because I really like to do mindless tasks.
Do you have like podcasts or something in while you do them, or just like you turn your brain off?
No, I like podcasts. That's one of the most annoying things about my current job is that, everything I do requires thinking. you know?
Woe to Armstrong. He gets to use his brain.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, everything is like, I can't, like, because I can't, like, shut my brain off.
Yeah, and, you don't,
like,
really get
do
like
mindless a... tasks and, like, listen to music or something. It's like I have constantly, like, there's no room for resting.
Right, you don't get, like, a mental break.
I mean, it's a dumb thing to be complaining about, for sure.
A little bit.
But it is a complaint.
I get it, though. Yeah.
But anyways, we didn't make it. And then
we went to Golden Shake, and then we drove around Old People Village. We saw an old man with a walker and a chihuahua.
This is the nicest man in the world, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this man, Zach got out of the car. And this man just random guy from across the street, never seen Zach, just starts like,
he's like, hi there.
How are you doing today? And he's like, you enjoying this
cool
nice
weather?
Nice cool weather or something like that. And then
it was really cool today, which was nice.
And then he went down and took 10 minutes to walk to the mailbox.
Mm-hmm. With his chihuahua.
Which just hurts my brain.
Yeah.
With his chihuahua. And we were discussing why he would get a chihuahua. And I was making the point that if you're an old person and you're an incredibly frail,
first of all, chihuahuas are the ugliest dogs on the planet.
Yeah, chihuahua is not the most annoying.
Just the baseline layer of understanding that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, chihuahua,
they're awful.
Not even a dog.
No, they're rats. Rats. Cats are bigger than chihuahuas, bro. There's a problem there.
Bro, there's a problem there. So anyways, the reason he probably had a chihuahua, and not that I'm excusing the chihuahua, but the reason he probably had a small dog is because if you're real old, I was just thinking about this, and you're just frail, and you get, like, this big dog, and it just barrels into your legs, I mean, you are going over, and you're probably breaking something. If it, like, jumps up on you...
Like, old people fall anytime, and they break everything.
Yeah. Like, if I have a big dog, and it tries to jump up on me to lick me, I'm shoving it off me and saying no and trying to train it to not jump up.
Right.
If a dog jumps up on an old person, they're going down and they're breaking a lot of things. It is not pretty. They've fallen and they can't get up. They need help and they're going to press the button.
You're terrible.
I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, so this man's very smart to get a chihuahua.
You could get...
I mean, because he could step on that thing and end it if he wanted to.
If the dog rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he could not, you know...
Also be aware of dog coups that could happen in your household. They try to take over. I think
you don't get, like, 15 dogs.
You don't get Great Danes, bro.
Bro, Great Danes... I have nothing against Great Danes.
They're beautiful dogs.
They're beautiful dogs.
Yeah. But I think you could probably buy, like, a pre-trained dog that'd be good for old people. You know what I'm saying? It'd be heckin' expensive.
But yeah, he could.
I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Chihuahuas are easy because they're harmless.
They're completely harmless and useless.
Right.
Too.
Right. They're just like a companion. If you want that thing to be a companion.
That thing is not a companion.
But if you find
this thing is an enemy.
If you find that pleasant, you know. So.
Yeah, someone out there probably finds it pleasant. But anyway, listening to this podcast, I'm going to be honest with you.
So we went from the old people place, dropped Zach off at his car, and then we went over... My girlfriend is moving to Waco, and so her parents moved her stuff, all of her stuff from College Station, into a friend's garage,
mm-hmm.
my friend's garage. And so me and Armstrong had the task of moving said stuff from the garage to her new house.
Yes.
And boy, was this a task.
Yeah, it was a task.
We didn't even finish it all. We're only about halfway through.
But we have now that we scouted it out, I feel like we can...
The second time is going to be a lot easier.
It's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah. But we loaded up like a couch, a big...
We tried to put the couch on, and then we tried to put another couch on top of it like it was in the garage, and then quickly realized that anytime he makes a left turn...
It's just going to fall off.
It's going to
fall off. Which, driving down Valley Mills, I was like, praise God we did not do that, because it would have fallen off.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And then we got on the highway.
Yeah, and then we got on the highway.
And going down 35 with a couch
and a giant mattress. If we had bungee cords, would have been a different story.
Yeah.
But we did not. But we loaded up like a couch, a big dresser kind of thing.
Yeah.
A whole mattress.
Table.
Bunch of boxes, a table, a desk thing.
Yeah.
Bunch of different stuff. It was a productive trip.
And I did, at the beginning, I was like, wow, I'm like, we're lifting stuff. And I'm just like we're lifting these heavy couches into the truck. And I'm just like, wow, I'm doing this, you know? Like, I wasn't like tired.
No.
But then by the time we were moving him in, I was like, look, Elliot, I cannot do another. Yeah. I cannot do another.
We were going to do two trips tonight. We were gearing up, and then Armstrong was like, nah, we got to call it. Which, honestly, I'm glad you did, because we would still be doing that right now.
Yes.
And it's already 11:30 right now.
It's 11:30 p.m. So. I just had heart surgery. I'm still recovering. I worked out yesterday for the first time in, like, 3 weeks, so.
Yeah. We got to move furniture for Zach Glanzer in the morning.
We do have to move. We got to get up early for that.
Oh, my gosh.
Golly. I can't believe we agreed to that.
I can't either. And then I'm potentially driving to Columbus after that. So another long day tomorrow.
That'll be
restful for me, because anytime I get to see Caroline, it's just,
yeah,
that's a blessing.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we'll just have in the morning, and then I'll be pretty much, unless Zach has plans change.
Yeah. If that 3:30 thing happens,
you probably won't be there.
I'm probably not going to be there.
I probably will then.
Yeah. But.
So anyways, we went and did some furniture moving, and it went actually way better than I thought.
Yeah.
But.
I think so.
Yeah.
We took you away from your Olympic watching, which is tough.
I need to go. I'm going to have to watch all the highlights.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch all the highlights of the Olympics that happened tonight. But I don't know what happened. I don't want to know. Problem with YouTube is, well, it makes sense, but like NBC puts their highlights on YouTube, but in the title, they just spoil it.
Right. Whatever won, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so Katie Ledecky wins whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm bummed.
Bro, how would you feel if you won a silver medal in the Olympics?
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. I watch these swimmers, and they're swimming down and whatever, and one pulls ahead and wins gold, and then some girl wins silver, and then she's just, like, so excited.
Right.
She's just like, oh, my gosh, you can't believe it. I won silver.
What cracks me up about female swimmers, specifically in the Olympics, is whenever they finish the race, they all, like, hug on each other.
They hug each other.
And the guys just kind of look at each other, and, like, mentally they're, like, flipping each other off, yeah, and then they go on their own ways. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, the difference of, like, male attitudes of competitiveness versus female attitudes of competitiveness cracks me up. They're way just friendlier than
guys
ever are.
The girl that won gold, whatever event it was, the girl that won gold, silver, and bronze all came together, and hey, don't mess with that. They might hear it.
Okay.
But, you know, they all came together, and they're hugging on each other. I was like, oh, my gosh. And we were like, this is something that would never happen in male athletics.
No, it would never. But I would feel disappointed if I got a silver.
Yeah, because I was say any other sporting event, any other time if it was not the Olympics, I feel like you're just like, if you get second, you're bummed because you won it first.
I would almost rather have third.
I'd way rather have third. I'd rather have bronze than silver, because bronze, you're just happy to be there.
Right.
Silver, you're like, you are that close.
Silver is like, you're just over and over in your head again. You're thinking, it's like, what if I just pushed a little harder? Yeah. What if I did this differently?
And so, like, especially in swimming, when it's like decided by like
a tenth of a second,
and like, right,
at that point, gosh, it's like, it's almost a little out of your control. It's just like whoever had the better day, you know, because like everybody has off days as athletes.
Yeah,
if you're coming in by tenths of a second, it's like you just had a split second better of a start, or a split second better of, you know, whatever.
How hard would it be to be out there and be like, like, I don't think that I would ever get to the point where it's like, yeah, I legitimately gave it my all. Because I would always feel like I think there was just a little more I could have given.
I think it's easy to feel that way a lot of the time. I think I've definitely been in scenarios when I play athletic sports where it's like, I gave it my all. I did everything I could do. So I think there's times for both. There's been times where I've been discontent with my performance, and there's been times where it's like, I put it all out there and I still lost.
Yeah.
And I just got beat. I got beat straight up.
Yeah. But you wouldn't get excited about, man, I get this awesome medal for being second place for first loser.
No.
Congratulations to you. Yeah.
But the thing about swimming, though, is that they rack ups. They compete in so many different events. You can win multiple medals.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like you can win gold in this event and two silvers in the other event. It's like, hey, you still won a gold. You have three medals. That's still great.
Yeah, that's true. See, like, if you win a gold, then I feel like if you win a gold, then silvers mean something, or like, okay. But if, like, all you have is silvers, then it's like, bro, that that's disappointing. Like, yeah. Gold and three silvers sounds way better than four silvers, obviously.
Right. And four golds obviously sounds better than one gold and two silvers.
But, like, a silver, if you win a gold and something else, is like, okay. You're pretty dang good. Yeah. But if all you have is silvers, then you're just like, you just can't be the best.
It's
you're
like, just not the best in anything. You just have to prove once that you could do it.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I can win a gold. So you get that one gold medal, and if you got silvers the rest of your career, I think it'd be easier to swallow.
Yeah.
Than if you just consistently got silvers over and over.
Hey, speaking of gold, how about Suni Lee?
Taking the
American gymnast. Taking it, you know. Simone Biles drops out. You know, we've discussed that on previous podcasts.
Yeah, we took some heat from it.
We did take some heat.
Specifically from my little sister, Marion Gordon, yes. Who was outraged.
And I want to read these texts or hear these comments, but we can do that off the air. Anyways, if you have criticisms, by the way, my DMs are open.
Armstrong, you can find them on Instagram, our TV show, or our podcast. I can't talk. Our podcast.
What?
I don't know. And then we also have an email. There's multiple ways to contact us and air your grievances.
There is multiple ways. But
you don't have to dial my personal phone number and let me know. That's too far.
If you have it, dial it for me. But if you don't, I ain't giving it to you.
Right.
So Simone Biles dropped out because of mental health reasons.
Armstrong's phone number is 555-312.
You know what 555 is actually like?
It's a TV thing.
Yeah,
it's
because
not real. Yeah.
No one's phone number, the middle. Like, there's the first three digits and then the next three digits. 555, no one's phone number is 555.
Right.
So if you're ever watching TV and you see a phone number, you'll notice, like, it'll be area code and then 555. Right. Because that no one has that. Specifically so you can use it as fake numbers.
I wonder if anybody, you know how, like, guys will ask girls for, like, their phone numbers on, like, bars or wherever guys do that. I wonder how many girls have included, like, 555 in the number they give guys.
I wonder.
And they notice. Like, wouldn't that be the most awkward thing if, like, you obviously are giving this person a fake phone number and they know it, and then you're just kind of, like, both acknowledge it, but it's like, can you... You can't, like, explicitly say it's like, this is a fake phone number.
Oh, I would, though. You know I would.
But then what is she? Then she's just going to get mad and walk away. It's not going to do
that. Yeah, but I'd be like, bro, I'd be like, this is fake.
Right.
And then I don't see her response, but I don't care what her response is. She probably tried to deny it.
She'd be like, no, it's not fake. It's totally true. And then she'd walk away.
Yeah. But at that point, I realized she gives me a fake phone number. I no longer care what she thinks of me.
Because she just gave me a fake phone about her as a person,
yeah,
and your relationship, potential relationship with her.
Because if I want her to say yes or no,
right?
Not yes, and then why would she say, you know? And so then I automatically, okay, I don't care what you think about me anymore. So I'm just going to say to your face, hey, this is a fake phone number. I know this is fake.
Right.
Why are you being like this?
And then you throw your drink at her, and then you walk away.
Never.
Never.
She might throw her drink at me.
For calling her out for using a fake phone
number? No. If the conversation were to escalate.
Ah, I see. Something weird is happening on the table.
Elliot has just moved his mic way back, and he's now lounging in a chair.
I am leaning back here.
This is why these are good. This is why these exist.
Beautiful.
Anyways, Simone Biles dropped out for mental health reasons. Suni Lee, coming out of nowhere, wins the gold.
Takes the gold.
For the America. I don't want to say what I said in the car, but, you know.
Don't say that.
Just very, very proud of Suni Lee.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, competing, you know, for her country, you know. Winning the gold, in which was only possible, made possible by her, you know, actually competing. Right. So, you know.
It was a victory for the U.S.
Yeah. You know.
Got another medal on the board.
I don't want to see any more Simone Biles on any of these Olympic ads.
I want to see where the U.S. is.
I want to see freaking Suni Lee, my hero.
But see, I don't
because
think...
Because you know, she went into the Olympics... totally thinking there is I have no shot at individual gold because Simone's going to win it all. Even if she's the second best person, even if she's better than everyone else in the world, she was not expecting gold. And then suddenly Simone Biles drops out and she's like,
bro, China is in the first place right now with 19 gold medals. We need to step up.
I do not like that.
I don't like it at all.
Bro, track and field's about to start though.
And baseball. America's going to take the gold in baseball.
Yeah, but that's one gold medal. Track and field is
it means everything.
13.
The baseball gold medal counts for at least 50.
America needs to be winning badly.
I mean, we're in third place. We're not doing awful.
That's awful.
We have 16 gold medals, 17 silver, and 11 bronze for a total of 44 medals.
There needs to be like a weight on those.
Okay, so like total
3 points
total
for gold,
cumulative
two
medals,
points for silver, and 1 point for bronze.
Cumulative medals, we are in first place. Gold medals, China is in first place.
Like total medals, we're in first.
Total medals, we're in first.
That's what I like to hear. Screw the point system. Point system I just proposed. I don't want it.
We're just counting trophies. We're not counting quality.
Yeah, exactly. Rack them up, boys and girls.
As many as you possibly
can. Katie Ledecky, my gal.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
So, shout out to Suni Lee. If you want to come on the podcast, because I know you're listening.
But see, I don't know Suni
my
Lee,
DMs are open.
But what made Simone Biles, or what, is that her name? Simone Biles?
Who cares? I mean, she does it. She's irrelevant now. It's Suni Lee. It's all about freaking.
You need to calm down about Suni Lee.
Bro, I'm a
but
Suni
what makes
Lee
Simone
stan.
Biles famous is.
I can't believe I just said the word stan.
Her personality and like her image and her branding. And it's not the fact that she won. I mean, the fact that she won helped, but people just latched on and loved who she was as a person. She grabbed America's heart. And that's a lot of the way that these famous athletes are. So regardless of Suni Lee winning a gold medal, if she does not have that personality and that magnetism to her, she's not going to mean anything.
I don't want to hear it.
You just like
what
her,
do I
her
have
last
to do?
Name is your middle name. That's the only reason you're a fan.
That's not the only reason I'm a fan. You know why I'm a fan?
Tell me.
Because she was nervous. Yet still competed.
We just need to drop this. No. Just
and
drop
not
it.
Only competed, won.
So.
The gold. Keeping it in the fam. U.S. women's gymnastics.
You need to calm down.
America dominates. Individual overall medal, gold medal. American has won since 2004.
What are your thoughts about coming to the airport late?
Gosh. Okay. When I go
to get you off of this train of like aggression.
I hate the airport. Right. Airports are probably my least favorite place in the face of the earth. I'd rather drive 20 hours. Nah. Okay. I'd rather drive 10 hours than, you know, fly, you know, three.
I really disagree with that. For so many
but,
reasons.
Okay. But. Airports are the scum of the universe. And so every time I go to the airport, I have it so planned out. Like, I know exactly where my gate is, obviously what terminal I'm going to do. If I'm parking, I know where I'm going to park. I have it all planned out. I get there way early. I go through security. I, you know this bag is going here, this bag is going here. I'm on a roll, and I'm going as fast as possible because I need to get where I'm going, and I need to sit at my gate, and I need to be there, like, 30 minutes early. And so I just go. I hate it so much. I go through security, which I hate. Security is the worst. And then finally, you know, so as I map it out, and I plan it all out, and but because I hate it so much, it drives me
to be a
to
better
be
traveler.
So efficient.
Now, I have a different perspective.
Now, if I'm... It's worse if I'm by myself, though. In some ways. Like, if I'm by myself... Well, okay. In some instances in my life... Oh, my gosh. My mic just went crazy.
Oh, no.
In some instances in my life, either when I'm by myself or sometimes when I'm with other people, I am, like, the leader, if you know what I'm saying. There's always someone who's, like, taking charge.
You're an Enneagram 8, right?
Yes.
The leader, bro.
I like to be the one who's taking charge, though. But that also makes me more stressed out. But I'm also more in more control, so I like that. So if I'm in that position, I'm stressed out. But
that's a little paradox you got going on.
If someone else is in control, I just like totally chill and just like I don't worry about it at all because it's not my fault. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Someone else is to blame for us being late or us to whatever, you know?
Right. I really love the airport, but I share a perspective with you and I disagree with you. I love the airport because there's a sense of like adventure in the air whenever you're in the airport. You're like, oh, this is exciting. I'm going somewhere new, maybe not new, but like far away. Like you're changing up your surroundings. And so there's this essence of like adventure and travel in the air. And it's also one of my favorite places to just sit on a bench and people watch. And it's because everybody in the world goes to the airport. So many different cultures, so many different backgrounds, different like tendencies, things like that, different like interpersonal relationships to observe. It's just fun to sit on a bench and watch things go on. But I agree with you. You got to get to the airport, you know, 2 hours early. You got to plan out your thing. You got to get to your gate. You got to have your ish together when you're going to the airport. There's no playing around because there's a lot of money on the line, you know? And if you if you miss a flight, you're A, potentially losing money, and B, you are certainly losing time. Because the difference between the flight you missed and the next flight is probably going to be at least 5 hours. And so that's probably 5 hours you're planning to spend in the air or 5 hours you're planning to spend on the ground. Regardless, you've lost 5 hours. And so there's a lot on the line whenever you're going to the airport. You got to be
punctual. There is a lot on the line.
You got to have it together. But once you have it together, it gives you free time to enjoy things about the airport so you're not just stressed out all the time. And I think it's fun to like look around all the little shops. It's fun to people watch. It's fun to get maybe some coffee. You sit somewhere. You watch the little mechanic dudes on the ground. There's just a lot of it's an unusual place. It's a fun place to visit, and that's why I like it.
Yeah, when I've traveled by myself, like sometimes – I can't remember where it was. The London airport. I was in the London airport by myself for like a good – 6 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just explored and I walked around and it was like, and I was enjoying myself. So I think you're right. It's not airports I hate. And I say I hate flying. I tell people I hate flying. It's not the act of flying. I actually quite enjoy being in the air.
Yeah.
Being able to sit there.
I love taking off and landing.
I'll sleep. Taking off and landing. It's fun.
Yeah.
I don't get air sick at all. You know, it's just the act of, you know, it's all the preparation. That's all the before. Of like even that day being nervous about it, you know, when I'm going to leave, I'm just nervous about it all day. Packing, I'm nervous for it because I got to fit it all in the perfect bags, you know, right. Or my car, I'm going to, I forgot that pair of shoes, I'm going to just throw it in the car, you know, whatever. But I kind of disagree with you in that, I don't disagree. There also is an air of adventure in the airport for sure. And there's a lot of people you get to meet and talk to or just watch and, you know, observe or whatever. But also, I don't think that is more so adventurous than driving. Because when I'm driving, I like to see. Like, if I'm driving a long distance, like, I'm enjoying the drive. Like, I'm passing through different cities I've never been in, different towns I've never been in, driving over on roads I've never been, passing land I've never seen before. When you're flying places, you're passing over all that. When you're driving, you're getting to experience all that.
Yeah, but
on the road. And like the drive is part of the adventure.
Think of the phenomena that is flying. You are 30,000 feet above the air where birds can't even fly.
Yeah.
Going like 300 to 400 miles an hour, just zooming over everything. That is completely unnatural. It's an experience that humans probably were not meant to have. Like physically, we cannot do that. There's just something so unique about it that I think I appreciate. I drive every day. I drive to work every day.
Yeah, but you don't drive cross country.
Well, I drive long distances pretty frequently, going all over tech. I can go up. I've like in a day gone from Dallas to Houston to like College Station. So it's like I've pretty much covered a big surface area of the state.
Like for me,
flying is just a whole different experience.
Flying somewhere and then spending like 2 weeks there sounds way less interesting to me than taking like a 2 week road trip across America and hitting a bunch of different sites. You know what I'm saying?
Taking a road trip
is like, I like to be where the drive is part of the trip. Because when you're flying, that's just only a means of transportation. You're not like There's nothing enjoyable about that. You're just doing that to get there. When you're driving, like, that can actually be enjoyable. It can be part of the trip. You can stop at some random barbecue restaurant you've never been for before in your life. You can try, you know, you can see all these little towns. Now, you can choose to just sit on the highway and drive and go. And then it becomes just a means of transportation. But airport is always just a means of transportation. Driving can become part of the trip.
Right. I think there's a place and a time for both.
I agree.
I think there's a time to appreciate a good road trip. I did that last spring break. I appreciated a road trip literally across the entire of the southeastern United States. And it was fun. I made a lot of memories. But there's also something to be said. It's like, I'm trying to get to a specific place to the most amount of time in this specific place. Like California, for example. That was a big burp. the trip from the Texas to the California is like 12 hours or something like that. That's a long time.
20.
It's 20? It's longer than that?
I think so.
That's such a long time.
Yeah,
the time I'm trying to spend is not from point A to point B. The time I'm trying to spend is in the destination. So the fundamental philosophical question is it about the journey, Armstrong, or is it about the destination? And I think there's times for both.
That's fair.
There's times for both.
That's completely fair.
And airports are for those destination times, and car rides are for those journey times. There's a time and place for both.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
I just, maybe in my memory, I'm just thinking like journey times are more fun.
Hey, if you want to sponsor a trip for the Armstrong and Elliott show, we will podcast along every single stop that we make. We will podcast in barbecue joints, and rest stops, and hotel rooms.
The Armstrong and Elliott journey across America.
If you want to sponsor
it, donate money to us.
Please do. We would love to make that happen. It'd be a blast.
It would be a blast.
It would be such a blast. And I know you would have fun, too, as a listener. So
the listeners would be coming along for the ride.
We'd make like a 12-part series or something like that.
That'd be amazing.
It'd be wild.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
One summer, me and my family, we went to every barbecue place we could possibly find in Dallas and like rated it all.
Hey, Caroline just texted me and she said, "Tell Armstrong I said thank you for sacrificing his muscles."
Bro, it was a hard sacrifice to make. My muscles are shot. One of the reasons I didn't want, and okay, by the way, I'm not weak. Well, I am weak.
Yes, you are. You just sat in the hospital for like a few days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's okay to say that you're
that's
weak.
What I'm saying is like, I'm not usually this weak. I just sat in a hospital and we've been recovering and not being able to do anything for like 3 weeks. So
right.
My muscles are atrophying.
We're coming back though. You just had two upper body workouts back to back.
In a day.
In 2 days.
I'm one of those people which most people wish they were, where if I sit around all day, I lose weight.
I'm not that person. Like if I sit around all day, I will gain
like
weight.
Like I'm sitting around all day in a hospital chips. And then I'm sitting around all day, you know, for a week and a half doing nothing because my doctor told me I can't. And I'm just losing weight like crazy. Like, when I got my gallbladder surgery, I lost 15 pounds when I just got this recent one. And then I gained some back. And then I just lost it all again back 8 more, you know. It's kind of frustrating. But hopefully now I'm on, like, I'm not going to have any kind of surgeries where I'm going to. But most people wish that they could just sit around and do nothing all day and that's how they lose weight.
Right.
It drives me crazy.
Well, you say that. Okay, listen. Skinny people have this phenomena where they want to be big. Big in a muscular sense.
I don't.
Fat people have this phenomena where they just want to be skinny.
I don't want to be big in a muscular sense.
You what?
I'm not trying to be big, you know? I'm not
trying to be like, yeah, but in a different sense. In a different sense.
I'm trying to just be in shape.
Right.
And that means
functional strength is functional strength. Right. But it's like, I don't know. It's just a perspective you have of like, you have such a great metabolism. You sit around and you lose weight. Some people would kill for that, bro. So it's just being grateful for the cards you have dealt. The fact that you, some people have to lose weight before they can gain muscle. You are already halfway there. You just got to gain muscle.
Gain muscle, bro.
Yeah, muscle.
I'm not even worried about my muscle right now.
Take your creatine and drink your protein.
I'm worried about my cardio.
You're worried about your cardio?
I'm not worried about it. That's just like what I hate upper body. Like, this is, most people don't think I'm crazy. I love leg day. I love leg day and I love cardio and I hate upper body workouts. And most guys are the complete opposite.
I love cardio. Cardio is the best. I prefer cardio over like strengthening things.
Yeah, I prefer cardio.
It's important to keep your weight down and your metabolism up with cardio. It's important to tone your body and your muscles with strength conditioning. So they serve two different purposes. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have another. I'm not an expert on any of that. I just kind of work out and then see what happens.
Yeah. I'm not either. I'm kind of chubby.
I'm going to try to run like...
I've been running 5Ks though. You what? A 10K?
I think I could run a 10K. Not right now. I think I can run a 10K here in like... I could, in like 1 or 2 months training.
Bro, I want to run a 10K with you.
Let's do it.
We should sign up for one.
I want to run a marathon.
I've really wanted to go...
like as a giant ultimate down the road goal.
I'd be down.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm not kidding either. I've really wanted to like... this is not an event, I don't think, but I've really wanted to just like route... like a 10K around A&M's campus. Just because I think that'd be entertaining. Probably not so much for you because you don't love A&M as much as I do.
I don't care.
It's just a massive campus.
I don't feel the need to run a 10K like officially where I have them wearing a number on my chest. You know, you map a 10K anywhere.
I think it'd be funny around A&M because there's things to look at everywhere. Like college campuses are just popping, you know? And it's also massive. Like, so you can run the entirety of your thing on that campus. I think it'd be fun.
I'm down. Okay. So I actually want to do like I want to do triathlon stuff.
You're on your own there. I'm not into triathlon.
Like I really want to take up.
I say no to swimming.
I absolutely want to take up swimming. Like swimming to me seems like every time I've ever swam, I'm like I always think to myself, I should just do this for workouts. This seems like
bro, I would drown, straight up.
Well, I mean, that's why you practice.
Practice not drowning?
No, you practice swimming.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably swim. But, like, every time I do swimming, I'm like, I need to do this for a workout. And then I never do. And so I'm like, I have a Y membership. Why?
Do you really?
Not just go. Yeah. Like that pun.
What the heck? Why are you not there? Like, more often?
Because it's like a family thing.
Oh. Well, you're elite like that, bro.
I need to go.
You really do? Take me with you. Do you get a guest pass?
Huh?
Do you get a guest pass?
I have no idea.
Figure that out and take me with you.
Okay.
We need to go swimming.
I need to go swimming. John has a he has a swim pass and a Y pass.
Really?
And he is like swam in high school or something.
I've been curious where he's
like a middle school swim coach right now.
Bro, John does it all.
I need him to coach me.
You really do.
And then I can do triathlons with him.
Yeah, for sure.
He's got a lot of things going on. He's got better things going on in life than to coach me in swimming.
Yeah.
And I also want to get into biking, but my bike is, I have like a mountain bike type thing.
Yeah.
I don't have the right bike.
Yeah.
And also, I don't really know where to start.
That would be amazing. If you got a mountain bike, we can go mountain biking.
I have a mountain bike.
Oh, and then freak, let's go mountain biking.
See, I don't really like mountain biking.
Oh, dude. Why did you even bring it up?
Because I was saying I have a mountain bike, but I want like, I don't even know what it's called. I don't know the first thing about biking.
Well, you pedal?
Like a street bike? I don't know what you call it. You
use the handles to steer and you just don't run into trees.
I don't know the first thing about like cycling. Like,
oh, I'm not into cycling. I'm into like mountain biking.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. I don't know the first thing about cycling.
Oh, I don't give a frick about cycling. Bro, I'm saying I
want
to go.
I want to give a frick about cycling.
I want to like hit some trails in like Cameron Park. That's what I'm into.
I'm not into that.
What? Going down hills, avoiding trees, cool stuff like that, getting flat tires. You're not into that?
I don't know. That just doesn't excite me. It's like skiing.
It's like you don't like skiing?
No, because it seems like the purpose of it is just like you're just constantly like, what's the goal? Just try to not crash. That's what mountain biking seems like. And those sports just don't excite me.
I love the idea.
Because it's not like...
the goal is to not crash.
It feels like I'm not doing it. Like in skiing, I could just sit there with my ski straight and I will go down this hill real fast.
Right.
My goal is not to go. My goal is to actually stop myself.
Right.
So why? That's why, like, running and, like...
I mean, that's the entire, like, point of, like, NASCAR,
skiing,
right?
Like, skiing and mountain biking, it's like, if I sit here, I will die. And so the sport is, try not to die.
Right.
But that's... And we're like, golf, people... it's like, if I sit here, nothing will happen. No, I need to actually be doing it. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I understand that skiing is not solely try not to die. I mean, but it is, how am I stopping myself? And in what way am I stopping myself?
Yeah. But, like, that's the same premise of, like, racing. Like, NASCAR. The entire premise is don't die while doing this race.
No, but if you sat there, you would, like, you're actually going. You see what I'm saying?
I don't think I do.
Like, you're actually doing something.
Right.
It's not a try to stop yourself from crashing. It's an actual, I'm doing this.
I think that's only your perspective because you're an amateur. I think once you get better at skiing, the goal is not stop yourself from crashing. It's like, I can do these cool routes. I can hit this jump. I can slide this rail. I can do these different things. I think your perspective is just like an amateur's perspective of,
yeah, that's,
when
that's
you first start skiing,
but I mean,
when
I,
you first
I've
start skateboarding,
life.
When you first start riding a bike, the entire goal is don't die. That's just because you don't have the skills down. The same premise is with a car. When you first learn to drive a car, the whole premise, the first time you get on the highway, is don't die. But then once you figure out how to not die, then it's like, oh, now I'm just getting from point A to point B.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, but I've skied my whole life. I've just always hated it.
I think this is a good spot to wind down the podcast.
Or, I agree. So I could see myself possibly being... I don't know.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
I'm just really just thinking about skiing right now. How much I hate skiing.
Hey, get outside, exercise.
Yeah, do that.
Go ski or go run or mountain bike or whatever. Go out and get some exercise. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Join us next time.
Yep.
Next week. I don't know. Who knows when it'll be.
Who knows? Bye, y'all.
Bye.